Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Roastcast, the number one Bachelor Recap podcast hosted by a male and racial best friend duo. AB, hometowns, what'd you think?
Loved it, Rim.
Yeah?
Huge fan of this episode.
Few of them felt like real hometowns.
They did feel like real hometowns. I didn't really miss the actual hometowns, now that you say that. In the moment, when I was watching it, I didn't really miss it. I thought the conversations and the dates were good.
I agree.
And did a good job of making me feel like I was at a hometown.
I think it was also the best episode for... One of the big gripes about the season is we feel like we haven't gotten to know anyone involved, really.
That was...
the contestants and Matt. And I feel like we learned more about everybody that episode. So I liked
Agreed. It. Definitely one of the reasons I liked it is... We just got to know these four women and their families, and I really enjoyed it.
Start of the episode, Matt's working out. Did you know Peloton offers more than just a cycling workout? You
What's can
turn the
there,
screen
Rim?
And do guided workouts and free weights, so it's starting at just $39 a month. Peloton.com.
Listen, I did not know that. I was very interested in what he was doing. He was doing
it seems like a good deal.
He's doing a floor workout. It seemed awesome.
I think they charge you for the extra equipment. That's how they get you. Chris strolls in to give the hometown speech. Just an update, in case you're wondering, the pandemic is still going on, he says, so we're not going to your hometowns. But we already brought in, quote, the people that mean the most to you. For Serena, that's her mom or dad or sister. For Rachel, that's her mom or dad or sister. For Michelle, that's her mom and dad. And for Bree, that's her mom, baby sister, and best friend Bree.
This is when it gets serious, Rim,
okay.
According to Chris.
It's true. Finally starting to get serious.
I noted here, Serena P. seemed a little checked out on the couch. Just something to note.
I didn't note that, but I can believe
it. Noted here. Checked out.
She didn't like the most recent date leading to this, so...
I was watching closely because of what you said last week. You thought she was trying to leave... So I was watching her closely this entire episode. I just noticed she didn't really care about Chris being there.
Michelle's first up.
One other thing I wanted to note, Rim.
Yeah.
The girls were all tearing up about their family coming in here. And I don't think, maybe we're not giving enough credit for how much emotional stress the bubble season is.
Yeah.
You heard about the NBA bubble and how it affected all these guys with their family not there and just being in one place for, you know, months on end, being in a hotel room and the emotional toll it took on them. I imagine the same things happened to these women being quarantined and in this bubble away from they probably don't have their phones. I wonder if they took any. If they gave them any leniency on, like, phone stuff or letting them FaceTime their family.
They might have given, phone stuff, maybe.
I had a question about that, and I wish we knew more about the situation that they're in, because this could have been,
pretty tough. It's no different than normal, except that they don't have the access to the stress relievers that come along with
the
fun stuff that go along with the regular seasons. They're away from their families for months in a regular season,
yeah,
and presumably without their phones. I remember one season they made a big deal out of someone Like, they showed him what was in a magazine years ago. They're like,
yeah,
here's a magazine. Like, it was paraphernalia.
A regular season is stressful, I imagine, to begin with, as they're away from their families, but this would be even more because they're not going anywhere, and eventually it just feels like you're cooped up in one place, which I'm sure a lot of people have felt through this pandemic, but...
I'm not weeping for these people, no. Yeah. But I know, I get your point, totally. Yeah. Michelle's got a little... I don't think this matters, but it's tradition for people to... look at the leg wrap greetings, especially at this point.
I was looking.
Leg wrap, jump, and kiss. Just should be noted. There's different. There was a lot of leg wraps, but they were approached differently.
Do you have something to say about the different leg wraps?
Well, we're going to go through each of them as it happens. I'm not doing them all now. But Michelle, traditional leg wrap, jump, and kiss.
Good leg wrap. Okay.
She's got a little bike ride. Plan for Matt.
Fun.
Baskets on the handlebars, fun, straight out of a movie, fall colors, holding hands. I thought this was fun.
She said her family in Minnesota went on tons of evening bike rides, which is where this kind of came from. Beautiful. Beautiful setting down this windy road.
For her second activity, she's got a little classroom set up. Now, when they showed the door that said Miss, what's her last name? Young. I expected, okay, we're doing classroom activities. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you what it's like when I teach. Thought that would have been cute. I did not expect some of the kids to be on Zoom, which was even better.
Yeah,
like a real hometown experience.
It really did. Yeah, I enjoyed this.
What'd you have on the question session when the kids?
They were grilling him, Rim. They were grilling him. A couple good ones. Are you going to give Miss Young a rose? They put his feet to the fire a couple times there. Have you guys kissed? Are you going to have babies? How many girlfriends do you have? That's my favorite one. How many girlfriends do you have? He couldn't answer that. Matt couldn't answer most of these questions.
No, it was athlete answer, Matt. Yeah. Someone goes, are you going to marry her? He goes, we're in the process of figuring that out, taking it week to week.
Yeah.
A lot of them had these Team Miss Young shirts on, so I wouldn't rule out prepared questions. I don't think these were off the dome for the kids. I think there's a little bit of preparation going on here.
Yeah, they were prepared. You can't have...
I don't know. I didn't want to offend anybody with that.
I couldn't tell
what
age these kids were, but you're not going to just get free reign questions to some kids like that. No way. These fourth graders, you're not going to just let them loose with a question.
Matt is very... Luckily... is very good with, I think this is about the age of kids he works with. So he was good with these kids. He was uncomfortable. That could have been, if you got a guy who like never interacts with children,
he'd melt
just
under the pressure.
All over the place. Yeah, it would have been, I actually would have preferred that. But Matt, unfortunately, was good.
He was good.
And it ended with one of them read a sweet note that Miss Young wrote to her. Mm-hmm. Just a very nice,
this
heartwarming activity.
This is cute. And all the kids give the big two thumbs up at the end for Matt.
Unanimous.
Double thumbs up. Unanimous thumbs up. I went back and looked just to make sure it was unanimous. It was. Everyone supports Matt and Michelle.
He did a good job. Afterwards, they go outside, little playground.
Fake There's a lot sack of lunch.
They had sack lunches?
Yeah, it was right underneath them. Fake sack lunch is fake. They weren't eating those.
That's too bad.
It's like a juice box. There was a juice box, apple, and
have an apple.
A sandwich.
And they didn't eat any
in the
of
sack
that.
Lunch. None of it eat. Yeah, they were like sitting there. It was under them. It was just a prop. No big deal. Just to be noted. Note that.
My takeaway was there's a playground on this resort. Like a child's outside of school playground.
Yeah.
They could show me anything. Anything could be at Nema Colon and I would not be.
Honestly. What's going on here? How big is Nema Colon?
It's humongous.
It's got everything you could need. They had a class. I feel like that was. They didn't have to set that school up. That's just a school that's there for
some people. Yeah, those. You mean like the chalkboard and all that? Probably.
Yeah, it's just there.
Anything could be at Nema Colon. Do you have anything on this conversation? They seem like they match, not just their shirts, but their demeanor.
The shirts did match. Michelle mentioned how important it is for her significant other to care for kids like she does. And Matt checked that box for her there. It seems like these guys got a lot in common, Rim, and they have a good time when they're together. I don't know what to tell you.
I thought so, too. She says she's falling in love with Matt,
mm-hmm.
but she's worried. And this was a commercial like teaser. She's worried about the possibility of her family not liking Matt. I don't think any, I can't imagine, unless Matt is drastically different in real life, I don't think anyone meets Matt and is like, I don't like that guy.
Yeah, no, Matt's not a guy that people dislike.
And maybe the families don't think he's there, they're going to get engaged, which is likely, but no one's going to be like, I can't stand
that jerk.
I just don't think that's going to happen.
Rim, back to the sack lunches. Did you bring sack lunches as a kid? Or were you a hot lunch kid?
You're jogging my memory. I was mostly a hot lunch. What about you?
I was a hot lunch every day.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's better. It's hot food. Why would I want to bring this cold
food? Hot lunches are fire. I don't know what to tell you. What's your favorite hot lunch? Real quick.
Italian Dunkers.
Okay, that was quick.
Italian Dunkers. Which
are
I didn't
those
know,
Bosco
was like,
sticks? What do you call them?
No,
those?
It's
what's an Italian Dunker?
I didn't know what they were at the time. Later on, I realized that they were just the hot dog bun split, put melted cheese over the top, and then you dunk it in marinara. It was just like what people did with leftovers were treated as like the number one.
That's
lunch.
Your favorite school lunch.
Yeah, I love marinara.
Italian Dunkers.
Just are you
bread.
Laughing at that? Because yes. Everyone loved Italian Dunkers. That's...
I've never even heard of Italian Dunkers. I like the mashed potatoes with the turkey. They had like a mashed potato turkey type deal. It was good. I don't think people liked it that much. There was gravy on it. It's like gravy, mashed potatoes, and like turkey.
For Thanksgiving, or is this like
turkey.
Every Tuesday?
No, this is every couple weeks you had this meal. I can't even remember what it's called, but it was fire.
Interesting. Yep. Public school, living large at public school. Who
yeah, we
that?
Really did. You just had leftovers from the public school is what it sounds like.
I don't
like.
Remember. I don't have a lot of memories of that, but I do remember Italian Dunkers. Nighttime date, okay. Michelle's parents excited to see her, naturally. This starts by her brief rundown of kind of how silly her entry was on the show. Hey, I came late. It was a whole big thing. I missed two rose ceremonies.
It's kind of bullshit.
It's even more, you know, you thought I've been here since the beginning. Well, I haven't. So this whole process is even more ridiculous when you consider the even shorter timeline.
Yeah. I barely know this man.
Yeah. I mean, we like each other. It's going as well as possible, but it's been
the
even shorter than you think. It's been even shorter.
The timeline is going to be alarming for you.
Okay. I'd say unacceptable. This is Michelle talking.
Matt shows up with bags rimmed. Have you ever seen that before? He had two bags and this is to every date. He had gifts
he brought something
for the other
day.
People and flowers for the mom. I like the move.
They didn't
show us what was in them. I would like to see what's in those.
One time, one day, he brought a big old
teddy
stuffed
bear.
Animal.
Yeah.
Who was it for? Why did
he
bring it?
That was for the baby. That was for the baby, I assume. Maybe.
The 3-week-old baby, it seemed. I mean,
yeah.
Humongous stuffed animal. Michelle's with her dad first. He's concerned. Ephraim is concerned that Matt could be in love with multiple people. Michelle brings this up, talking about why she likes Matt so much. He's creating these hydroponic gardens for inner city kids, she says. Mm. That's pretty cool, AB.
Yeah.
And a good connection that they have.
Absolutely.
Maybe that should have been emphasized at some point. Something like this. Maybe some things about Matt should have been emphasized.
That Matt's,
other than he knows Tyler Cameron throughout this season.
Matt has a lot of great stuff, and that's one of the big problems people have and we have with this season is they're not giving us the good stuff of Matt. Matt's awesome, and they have showed us nothing about him.
This is every season they do this with the lead.
Yeah.
Someone in the mailbag put it succinctly, which was the lead. They often make the leads who come on previous seasons. What they were on their previous season is their whole personality. We don't learn any. Peter is a pilot and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bummer that we, not only do we feel like we don't know a lot of these contestants, we don't, if you were to ask a casual person, viewer of the show who's not on the internet all the time,
you'd have to do your own research.
What do you know about Matt? They'd be like, well, doesn't he do the something with kids or something? And that's about it. That's like all they'd know.
Yeah.
Because they don't talk about it.
You have to do your own research if you're going to find out about the leads nowadays.
Sad.
Yeah.
Dad asks if he were to propose now, if she would say yes. She says yes to that question, not the proposal. and then some vague references to a previous relationship that ended poorly. Do you have anything on this, AB?
No, just big fan of Ephraim.
Do you have it? What about their? What about his conversation with Matt? Gets right to the point. Say, are you in love with her or not?
After a long answer from Matt. Yeah. Cut to the chase, are you in love with Matt. Her? What's Matt? The deal? What's going on here? Matt says he hasn't told her that and won't until he means it, but he says he is falling for her. Now, he doesn't even say falling in love. He says he's falling for her. That would be alarming. If that was me sitting in that chair, had that been me, I would be alarmed. I would say, okay, well, I know about the love pyramid scale, and that's really low on it, Matt. What's the situation here?
This late in the game?
This late in the game, you're just falling for her? Not even...
Everyone in these chairs should be alarmed, just yeah. for the record. Yeah. Everyone in these chairs should be alarmed at what's going on.
He also asks him, what will you do after this is over? And Matt says he's open to moving to Minnesota and doing whatever it takes if him and Michelle end up together, which was nice to hear.
I'm not sure if that was true.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true, but yeah. It was nice of him to acknowledge that, I guess, because a lot of times they don't even acknowledge that the lead lives somewhere else or the contestant lives somewhere else. So that was nice.
Yeah.
Mom and Michelle. Michelle starts crying because Mom asks, do you think he's the one? Here was my takeaway from the mom and the dad. Both of them seem really sweet.
They do.
They're going to, you know, support Michelle. They're probably not thrilled with this whole situation, but they're not going to be jerks about it. I think both of them express their concerns in the form of questions, but not in a way that would make Michelle feel stupid for feeling this way. And on paper, you know, it's unbelievable what is happening with Matt and Michelle, that they're on the verge of engagement potentially, and they've known each other 3 weeks, and she was late, and there's been so many other people involved and still involved. On paper, it seems ridiculous, but they didn't make her feel bad.
I hear what you're saying.
For example, her mom asked, like, does it seem too fast? Do you think he's getting there? So I liked their parents a lot.
I fully agree, Rem. I really was a big fan of these two parents. I don't know what her name was. I don't think they gave it to us.
It was I didn't see it on the screen. I'm sure she has a name. Yeah.
I really did like them. I thought Michelle seems really... She was breaking down talking to her mom about Matt. I think she's pretty head over heels here, Rem.
I don't disagree. Afterwards, they play some basketball in the driveway. This is what made it seem like a real hometown for me.
Yeah.
Because it was like a house. It was just a regular house. I don't know where they were, but they were just at a house with a basketball hoop in the driveway. They had a
driveway. Well, yeah.
Strange resort.
I need to know more about this resort and all the accommodations.
Father of the
we
bride.
Didn't get a lot of the hoops, Rim, but no. I could already tell Michelle, little handle to her. Smooth jumper, really smooth. Shooter's touch. Can go with either hand. That's all I gotta say.
Not bad. I hope they end up together. They kiss after the game. It was like out of a movie. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think they're gonna end up together is my prediction, but I hope they did.
I hope they did too. She's my favorite right now on who I want to win.
Okay.
And would be very happy if she does.
After the game, I think they're a fabulous match. After the game, she says she's falling in love with him. They kiss. He does not respond with words, AB.
Yeah.
Which I felt was kind of weird because he was fine telling others in the camera, I'm falling for Michelle. So to not do anything.
He just told their dad, too.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think that's a good sign.
I thought she was going to say she's in love with him also here, but she didn't. She said, there was a big lead up to it with her talking to the camera and stuff. I thought she was going to say, I love you. She just says, I'm falling in love with you. And like you said, he doesn't say anything.
The music afterwards was grandiose, but it seemed to me like bad.
Sure was.
It was a bad reaction from Matt and a bad news for Michelle is what it seemed
Hopefully
to me.
Hopefully it was just they cut what he said. That's all we can hope.
Unfortunately, we have to keep saying that this season, but I agree. Rachel hometown, daytime. Plymouth Prowler. Did you recognize that car she was in?
I recognized it, but I didn't know from what or why I knew what that car was.
It was a big fire. Thing. Those cars came out in like 98. The big whole deal, Plymouth, I'm not even sure Plymouth is a brand anymore. But apparently that's a classic car. I remember when those came out and it was like, this is the future of automobiles. Those cars look like this. And the PT Cruiser, it's like, this is how all the cars are going to look like. How cool that is.
Yeah, that thing's cool.
No leg wrap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Noted.
Yeah.
Noted.
Her big pitch for the daytime portion is that trust is important, so she blindfolds him and drives him to the airport where they skydive.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you think of this date, and generally we like skydiving type dates.
Of course I do.
It doesn't have anything to do with her hometown. Noted.
Agreed, but I...
But you like these.
I like this. I don't want this to... I don't want you to come off...
It's just weird that there's no attempt to tie in her hometown.
I don't know where she's from. Where's she even from?
Georgia.
Georgia? Okay, yeah. This had nothing to do with anything. There was no connection to her hometown, which is the whole purpose of this.
No peaches, nothing.
But I still... All that being said, I like this.
You say that these types of dates where you face a fear together bring the two people closer
together.
Rem. You're 100% right. This one... Probably even five times more so.
Way more. Way more. Listen, the skydive instructors walk up, Rim. I'm going to need to see that kid's credentials
right off the bat,
Rim. Are you kidding me? This kid, he's got like he's got the kid's sunglasses on. He looks like he just woke up, rolled out of bed. I need to see the paperwork before I'm getting in this plane with this kid.
We got a mailbag text from someone whose husband is a skydiving instructor. I will read that shortly.
I can't wait to hear that.
Well, I need to see the license.
I need the license.
So here's the thing. They skydive. Matt and his instructor, they're skydiving. Matt and his instructor, they land gently, softly on their butts. They land and they sit comfortably.
That's how it's supposed to go.
Whoa, that was crazy. They're fine.
That was fun. Yeah.
Rachel and her instructor come in at an angle.
You could tell when they landed and they cut up and like Matt turns around to look at where Rachel is and she's, I don't know, 100 feet up or whatever.
Yeah.
The wind is pushing them all over the place. They were wild. They were out of control before they even were approaching the landing.
They slam on their hips. They land on their hips.
They slam. Okay.
And the instructor rolls on top of while Matt's running. Yeah. The instructor rolled on top of her, just like make sure if no bones broke, we got to break some of these.
The instructor. This is the instructor's fault. We can agree on that, right?
We'll find out what the text says,
but it wasn't
Rachel's.
Obviously, it's the instructor. The instructor's the one who should take the brunt of that. Instead, I feel like he leaned her into it, so he didn't take anything.
It's like when Dwight gets in the back left seat behind the driver when Jim drives him somewhere because he's like, the driver's always going to protect his side. That's why he wants to sit back
here. That's what he was doing. That man was protecting himself.
Rachel's a little shaken up, but she pops up pretty quickly. Probably shouldn't have. This is adrenaline. This is like when a football player gets concussed.
I have a couple things I'd like to point out, Rim. Number one, the kid just breaks out. He takes off as soon as this happens.
Well, he probably went to get into an ambulance. If there was ever a need for an ambulance on this show, it was right
like
here.
Him and his dad
someone
just
fell out of the sky.
A couple things. Him and his dad skedaddled, left, just got out of here.
Are you telling me it was a father-son duo?
How is that not a father-son duo?
I didn't
duo?
Notice how young the other
that
guy
had
was.
Had to be a father-son okay. duo.
All right.
Had to be.
So there needs to be a lawsuit here.
That's why they left. They didn't want the lawsuit. Those guys don't have insurance either. I can promise you that. No, so there's that part of it. Number one, the kid just takes off. Just unhooks and is out of there before she's even up. Like, didn't check if she's okay or anything. He's out. Didn't see the other guy either. The dad?
This was bad.
We're just going to consider them father's son at
fugitives.
This point. That's what I thought the whole time. These fugitives took off. Didn't check on the person that they almost killed. The second thing, I didn't see enough... alarm in anyone or like any hustle from anyone to get to Rachel. I was really confused by this. It seems like there should be people sprinting to Rachel to see if she's all right. Matt was like the first one to got to her, and he kind of jogged to her. There are a couple people I saw. I watched it back. There are a couple people walking to her. It's like, did you not just see what happened out there? She slammed into the ground. Slammed.
And usually if they overdo that because you want the footage of the scary moment, but no. There's nobody to be found.
And then no one really, like, one guy kind of brushes the sticks out of her. Like, he walks over and then eventually brushes the sticks out of her hair. And then they just, like, no one checked on her or anything to check if she has a concussion. Or it was just Matt sitting there with her after a little bit.
I mean, I imagine it was like getting into a car crash for Rachel. It's like smashing her whole body. Before we move on, before we get to their conversation, here's the text that someone wrote in.
Where are the medics? That's just my question. Where are the medics?
This is from Sarah M. in Minnesota. My fiance is a skydiving instructor with over 1,300 skydives and over 300 tandem jumps.
Wow.
Resume, all right?
You want to talk about resumes, Rim? You want to talk about resumes.
What happened to Rachel?
Those are the credentials I wanted from that kid. Like, yes. How many jumps you got? Give me the numbers.
40. 40 all tandem. Listen to us mocking the... Like, we've never done this in our lives. We're disparaging
that
kid, this
kid. I can do it better than that kid. Listen, if I'm crashing towards that ground, me on Rachel's back, I'm going to handle it better than that kid did.
I think I would have too.
Without any type of training, I'm handling it better. I'm landing on my back. I'm turning. I'm landing on my back. Okay?
I'm just going to do it like the first guy did it. That's what I would do. Land perfectly. Here's Sarah M. in Minnesota. What happened to Rachel looked like an instructor error. You never land while turning like that. He wanted to be clear, her fiance. He wanted to clear the air so people knew skydiving is safer than that. Thank you, Sarah M. I'm sure it is.
Listen, Rim.
The other guy landed.
This has completely ended any chance of me skydiving in my life. This is the second time on reality TV I have seen an accident just like this where they are hurling to the ground way too fast. I don't understand why it happens, but I'm out.
What's the second one?
On the challenge, one time in a final, they did a skydive to like enter the final. Like you skydive down and then you were going to run the final. Well, Jordan, one of the goats, was skydiving and he just came in way too hot and his legs like smashed into the ground and
he
almost
not
couldn't
compete.
He like walked it off, but apparently it took a couple hours for them to like regroup because he had hit so hard on the ground and his adrenaline was still running and everything, but he did the final. But this is the second time I've seen this exact scenario where someone is skydiving with an instructor and they come in too hot and smash into the earth. I'm out.
That's too
never
many.
Will do it. Yeah, one, maybe I could forget about that. Two, I'm out. Sorry.
Remember when Batman in Dark Knight drops that guy off like three stories and he lands on his feet and goes, that's what I thought happened initially.
That's exactly what I thought.
No thanks, not worth it.
Not interested. I'm out.
Matt tried to kind of make this about like, whoa, what if you died?
Yeah.
You don't know what you got till it's gone. What did you think of this? I liked it. Closer than ever?
It's definitely closer than ever. Seemed a little dramatic. Maybe talk about it a little bit later. Like, she's still sitting there.
She's
first
woozy,
of all, again, I just can't get over how it was just Matt sitting there. Why was what was going on? She was still attached to all the stuff. It's like, where are the people?
We're not
where
in the clear yet.
Where are the producers? It just wasn't the time for this conversation yet.
A concussion test should have been administered.
Absolutely.
Here's a quote from Matt. He says, it's a different feeling when you're falling in love, and the thought of losing you set in that moment. So, I mean, lock it up, really. He won't even say the F word to Michelle, who seems like a terrific match. And here he is talking about, like, I didn't want to lose you to Rachel.
I didn't realize how strongly I felt for you until that moment.
It was a good speech. It might have been his best speech in a moment of crisis, impromptu.
It was good. Yeah.
Rachel, hometown, nighttime.
I just want to point out that as soon as I saw that kid, I knew something was going to happen just like that.
Rachel, hometown, nighttime. Dad Daryl is concerned at how quickly this is happening, and with good reason. This is crazy, Daryl, but play along. He'd be surprised if Rachel were in love already, and he doesn't see how someone would propose this soon. Quote, what's the rush? The TV show is the rush. That's the thing. You have to. We have to do this soon.
Yeah. This is a TV show. It's rushed.
Neil Lane is only not on vacation for 2 weeks a year. We need to get this done while he's free. What do you have on Rachel and her mom? Rachel says she's never seen a red flag. No concerns with Matt. None.
Doesn't see any red flags. Rachel then talks about how rough her landing was. Like, you should have seen this instructor and what he did to me.
Mom laughed
there.
It off. Like, I was like, yeah. Mom, she stared death in the eyes 4 hours ago.
Why aren't you confronting some of these producers for putting your daughter in harm's way
here?
Did
they help you?
She also mentions, Rachel mentions how Matt was when she took the big fall, took care of her, comforted her, exactly how she wants her husband to react in a moment like that. Completely sold her mom.
Rachel's dad, Daryl, outside with Matt by the fire. Classic parent concerns. Says, I don't see how you can get to that point in just a few weeks. Seen this once, seen this a million times at hometowns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Matt says, I've never connected with someone on the level that we've connected on. Keep that in the tickler file for later.
I know, that's noted.
You noted that? Okay.
Yeah,
he
that's
said
noted.
That. This is Rachel's hometown.
That is noted.
Okay. Dad's extremely skeptical. Here's my impression of Rachel's dad. That's Rachel's dad. A lot of throat clearing and a lot of like, can't believe I'm doing this. Can't believe we're here right now.
He says, to me, it'd be difficult to really care for someone when you're seeing other people. That is a very understandable statement.
That's totally understandable. But and let's say that Matt cares for Rachel way more than everybody else. To ease Daryl's fears here, or any lead, any scenario like this, the lead would have to admit, yeah, but like wink, wink, nod, nod, you don't have to worry about that because she's the one. He can't say that. So it's these are bound to go poorly, these conversations.
Absolutely.
Which is the great part about hometowns, really.
Yeah, it really is.
And by the end, Daryl, still not convinced. Usually it's like, oh, you know, as long as you love my daughter type of thing. No.
No, he's not convinced.
They just walk away quietly. Daryl and Rachel.
Daryl kind of hits her with the real talk here, Rim. He says, the way I see it, there are four girls, and none of them want to get their heart broken, just like you. Every single person, this is real talk here.
Yeah.
Every single one of them is in the same situation you are. Do you think he doesn't feel these same things about, or is saying the same things to them? Rachel says she doesn't want to be naive, and then she says something extremely naive. She says, he's really not telling all of them the same things that he's telling me. I really can't see that. Well,
Daryl was like, I'm sure he's doing, you know, he's doing this.
You know, he has four hometowns.
He did this yesterday with somebody else. He's doing it tomorrow with somebody else. You know that, right? Outside, Matt and Rachel, what did you make of Matt saying he didn't feel right asking her dad for his blessing, which Rachel mentioned she hoped he would do? He didn't want to do it just to check a box, and he doesn't want to have that conversation with four families. How did you interpret that comment?
He didn't mention asking for permission to anyone else.
Yep.
Which I walked away from this conversation thinking Rachel is the winner of the season.
I did too.
And I cannot get away from that.
It's hard.
It's hard for anything to change my mind here.
The clues have been there the whole way. Yeah. They played it up like Rachel's disappointed. It's what if, you know, he's Matt's whatever.
No, it's not.
This was good news because he's brought it up at all. You know what I mean?
Yep. He didn't mention anything about that with anyone else.
Yeah.
Matt does, when they're leaving the family, his dad goes in for a handshake. Matt goes for a bro dap hug. It didn't go well. Bad.
What was the result of the execution?
You know, when your two guys are going for the opposite things, it's just an awkward, like, ugh, here we go.
So how did they save it? Who?
Nobody saved it. Matt kind of just being the taller, overpowering man got the hug.
Huge hands, yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Daryl. All right, let's take a quick break. Patreon.com/RimandAB.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
There are some stories about my mom's life that I truly never get tired of hearing. From hilarious to heartfelt, tear-jerking to plot-twisting, her retelling of the events of her life, it always brings me joy. Just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for my family forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or mother figure for years to come. Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth will email your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. There's a wide variety to choose from. Some of my favorites are, do you have any keepsakes or heirlooms from your grandparents? And what's the furthest you've ever traveled? Storyworth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Then you'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's responses as they're submitted over the course of the year. Take it from me, you'll love their retelling of the stories you already know, and you'll be surprised by stories you've never heard before. After 12 months of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for decades to come. You can even keep a copy of the book for yourself. Our family keeps these gorgeous Storyworth books always within reach in the living room. They're great to read through whenever we're together, and I know they'll be passed down through the generations. Believe me, I'm not the only one who loves Storyworth. There are more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of family stories preserved since the company was founded more than 10 years ago. So give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/rosecast. That's storyworth.com/rosecast to save $10 on your first purchase. Bree hometown, daytime. She's got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Jeep in the middle of the forest, lime green. Hops out, leg wrap, hug, and kiss. Initiated by Bree. What'd you make of this date, AB?
Don't forget, these two have already been on this path off-roading, and Matt almost killed them.
Was it the same path? Probably.
I don't know. Probably. Bree does the driving. It seemed dangerous, but
safe. Yeah.
Seemed fun.
Yeah.
Seemed fun.
Would have been a lot more fun with the top down. One man's opinion.
I feel like, what's your thoughts on mudding in general? I feel like missed opportunity by Rimini going mudding in our lives.
I don't think I've ever, nothing comes to mind. It sounds fun.
Seems awesome.
It would be
you
nice
had a
to
Jeep.
Do.
You had a Jeep.
Not this kind of Jeep, but
this is luxury. Dork Jeeps. You had a dork Jeep.
And I
feel like
never did it.
Huge missed opportunity by us not going mudding.
Sad. Bree apparently did it a lot growing up.
Yeah.
So she was comfortable. They squeeze in some good conversation during
while
this,
muddy.
Which I appreciate.
Well, Bree was keeping it like not too dangerous. Like Matt was whipping it around when they did their part, their date. She was just under control. She could have a conversation with them while they're doing this.
Throughout this date, and I'm sure if you went back and looked through the season, you would find Bree to be really intentional about getting to know Matt more. Mm-hmm. Making a real effort. Like, the focus is not time, but what you do with the time with Bree.
Absolutely.
Which I like. Anyway, their conversation, they talk a little bit about how they both grew up in single-parent homes, which leads to, is your mom here? Yes, my mom's here. He might be tough on you. What'd you think about this, AB?
Bree said she had some reservations because she can't give them the conventional family that'll be meeting. And she says she just hopes that what he meets today will be enough. Matt obviously puts her at ease, like you said. Good line here. He says something about whatever family you have is the perfect family or something like that. I don't remember the exact line. But
I got the
good.
Line. I got the line.
You got the line here?
It took me a long time to realize that my family is perfect because I had a mom who loved me and a brother who would do anything for me.
Good line.
Good line. Good line. This went really well. With the, great conversation.
Like absolutely.
Anything else on this date?
No, I don't think so.
Nighttime, Bree.
Oh, there was a funny line in there. Bree and Matt are talking. He said, they said he's been working since he was 12.
Just always had jobs growing up.
12?
12 seems too young.
That seems too young, labor laws wise. 14,
what's going on there? 14 is the youngest I've heard. 12
fine.
Is,
but 12 it was, is
it,
ridiculous.
It was at, his, it was at a, like a Christmas tree farm. Maybe it was like, you know, the buddy, whatever, your family friend owns it. You go there, get to make some extra cash. I mean, we did jobs for money. Before when we were kids, we weren't official employees of companies when we were 12 years old.
I don't know. I said it like he's an official.
That's what he did. Yeah. I was moving up in the organization, really proud of it, but then I had to go to high school. Bree hometown nighttime. This is the gigantic.
Huge bunny rabbit.
Donnie Darko bunny, for some reason. Didn't look like a happy bunny.
Well, they don't. I mean, they just have one gift shop they're working with here. Rim.
True. Probably sold out. They're not replenishing it during the pandemic. Not,
yeah.
Bree has a best friend named Bree who looks like her also.
I had forgotten that they said earlier that this was her best friend. I thought it was her sister based on how similar they looked.
Just taller version. A lot taller. Yeah. Bree's mom, Lauren. Crying, happy to see her. Mm-hmm. Also, brand new baby sister. Because remember, from their first one-on-one a long time ago, and the way it was explained, it was like Bree was talking about how her and her mom have drifted apart in their relationship. Because she was like,
I forgot about
that. I found out my mom got engaged and is now pregnant when she explained that story.
I forgot about that until now. Yeah, that's interesting. I had noted here... This is an interesting situation in how close her mom had her when she was 13, I believe was the...
I thought it was 15. Somewhere pretty young.
Pretty young.
Yeah.
So she's not... Her and Matt aren't that far apart in age. Yeah. So this was an interesting dynamic that I was looking forward to.
Yes.
Based on how young she was.
Because Matt's 29, Bree's 24... So that would put him and her mom about 10 years apart, which is not all. You don't see that frequently.
No, it's usually like 30 years apart.
Lauren, the mom, started off with, I'd call it what I'd characterize as a snide comment. Got off on the wrong foot, in my opinion.
She came in. Now, I will say, I think that was just her sense of humor. She's being a little sarcastic, a little funny, but it came off little rude.
It was a little rude.
Yeah,
Bree's friend Bree was like, "What have you guys been doing?" And then Lauren pop jumps in and goes, "Well, we know what Matt's been doing. Dating." It's like, yeah, he's the bachelor. Your daughter went on the show. Everyone here knows the score. There's no need to be rude about his position in the situation. Everyone knows it.
I hear you.
And then when Matt says his first date was, it was just a little bit of when Matt says his first date was with Bree, she was like, oh, was it? Like,
okay. I bet it was, Matt. Yeah. Who gives a shit about that, Lauren? Matt?
He's trying to be nice. Just trying to, he hasn't done anything yet. Here's Lauren and Matt.
You would say that.
I roll her eyes at him. And I get that she's protective of her daughter, like all parents. But
it came off a little rude. I will admit that.
Wait a couple minutes before you start firing the bows. Lauren and Matt, what do you make of this conversation? The dynamic you were looking forward to, AB?
Matt says I noted this here, Rim. This was something to note.
Agreed.
We've been noting a lot of things. Hopefully,
hopefully they can come to fruition. Something comes of this.
He says the level Bree and him connect on is different than the way he connects with any of the other women. That seems like a big deal to me, Rim. I don't know. The way you connect with someone, It seems like something you'd want in a partner.
Is that all you're going to say about that?
Yeah, what do you have to say?
That's the same thing he said to Rachel's dad.
Hmm.
He said, I've never connected with someone on the level that we've connected on.
Okay.
That's what I thought you were pointing that out for. It's the same thing.
I did not piece that together. The wording is exactly the same there.
Mad to Bree's mom, the level that we connect on is different than the conversations and connections I have with other women. Saying it's different. But it's kind of the same thing.
I did note here Matt's doing what he did with all the girls, now with the parents, in that he's giving them comments that makes them think their daughter has it in the bag, like all the girls think. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Setting them all up to hate him at the end.
I think he kept some of them at arm's length. When she asked, are you in love with her? He says, I'm falling for her.
Yeah.
I thought he had he had kind of a seriousness about him here that he didn't seem to have with the others. He said absolutely when she asked if he saw Bree in her life.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it went pretty well, given how I figured Lauren felt about the situation going in.
Yeah, I thought it went okay when she talked to Bree, when Lauren talked to Bree later.
Segue.
It seemed to be that it went even better than we thought. Because her mom seemed to be completely down with the process after.
Oh, okay. You thought that?
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't tell as much.
Seemed like her mind had changed, and she was okay with this now.
Maybe at a certain point, parents just go,
it's whatever.
There's nothing I can do here. What's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah. She says, talking to Bree, when you have a connection and you feel it, and you know they feel it too, it's something special. And she's talking about how, yes, it's a fast process, but when it's there, it's there. So she's kind of she's on board with everything at this point.
Bree and Matt afterwards.
One other thing about Bree's mom.
Yeah.
One of the other parents also, I liked how realistic they were being. She says, worst case scenario, we're mending a broken heart together. I almost feel like on this show, the breakups, you kind of forget that they're going to be fine. All these people are going to be fine. Like it's always worst case scenario with these breakups. I've noticed on this episode, a couple of the parents were like, yeah, I mean, worst case scenario, you're going to...
You'll get over it.
You're going to break up and then you're going to be fine. Like, you're still a great person. It's
not
probably
the end of the world.
I think they're hinting at it's probably going to happen. Like, you're probably not going to end up with them. And it'll be fine. We're going to be fine here.
That's a good call. And all the parents are talking to the kids, three of whom are 24 years old. This is not the end of the world if you don't marry this guy from the TV show.
Bree's mom also urges her to be vulnerable and open up, which I liked as well. Anyways.
Bree and Matt afterwards. This surprised me. Bree says, talking to my mom and my friend gave me a new perspective. For a split second, I thought she was going to say, I don't think I can go forward with this.
Because
the delivery just felt like this could be bad. But she feels comfortable enough telling Matt that she's falling in love with him. What do you make of Matt's reaction?
I'm a little confused here, Rim. Didn't she already do this? I feel like she did this.
She might have just said falling in love.
Okay. Yeah, this didn't move the needle for me, this conversation. I don't know. I felt like they've already been close to this level. It didn't seem like this was taking another step up.
Were you surprised by Matt's reaction?
He said, thank you for sharing that tonight, which isn't great, considering
what
he said to Rachel.
Yeah. Serena P., hometown, daytime. I've committed to this bit. Matt hugs and lifts Serena.
Okay.
Which is just necessary for the height difference. Then she wraps her legs. She was not running. It was not a sprint and wrap.
Was
an uncontrollable enthusiast. She wasn't even walking. He walked to her. She was stationary.
So he lifted her up and then it was a wrap? Involuntary Serena P. wrap? She wasn't going to wrap?
She was not going to wrap.
Not going to wrap? Okay.
If he didn't lift her up with the hug. And it's, you know, she wasn't sprinting toward him like they always do.
This kind of goes back to what we were saying about her wanting to go home. Could really take it or leave it in terms of this hometown.
Take it or leave it was her attitude.
Let me just go through the motions here with Matt. Oh, you're going to lift me up? Let me wrap my legs. Yeah, I suppose that's what we do.
It's the Bachelor. Yeah. Canada trivia. Canada trivia.
Mm-hmm. Are you ready to become a real Canadian?
What'd you think of this, AB?
I liked it. I felt like she could have got a little bigger budget to make this a little better, but it was fun.
It was basically, they had some food dishes.
Mm-hmm.
They had the Canadian flag everywhere, including on the television. Shout out to the intern who came up with that idea. I was like, we could just put it on the TV, and the older producers were like, oh.
Dan, can you figure that out for us?
They ate some poutine. I couldn't have told you what poutine is. Now that I know what it is, I'm not intimidated by it, and it just seems like a regular thing.
No. I feel like that made its way to America within the last couple years here. I've had it a couple times.
And pea meal bacon. Never heard of that.
I have never heard of that in my life. It looked like ham surrounded by something.
Cornmeal.
Some sort of crunch.
They rolled in cornmeal. Yeah. No thanks.
They were dipping it in maple syrup, which
I didn't notice that. Okay. Yeah. I'm
they dipped in the maple syrup. It looked good. Looked really good.
How many provinces and territories does Canada have?
Me? I don't know, Rim.
Can't even guess?
No.
You know, like, Quebec is a province?
Yeah.
How many of those?
Rim, I have no clue.
Sad.
I can't even give you a starting number. You didn't talk about a couple other things they ate, by the way. Beaver tails.
I missed that.
That's fried. It looked like a fried type of dough, a little bit skinnier. Then a donut. Everything they ate here looked fantastic. But
yeah.
Comes in a... I looked up a couple things on these ones. I didn't know what they were. A variety of flavors. There was like some raspberries on top. I think they might have dipped that in the maple syrup too. It looked really good. It might have had some sugar on top. And then some...
Ooh, beaver tails like pastries. Okay.
Yeah, they're pastries. Dope, like fried dough pastries.
I see one here with Reese's Pieces as a topping. I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm extremely interested in these beaver tails. But then they also had some bars that looked delicious. Looked like some sort of chocolate, maybe a pudding in the middle. Nanaimo bars. It said on. I'm sure I'm butchering that, but yeah. Those look great too. Everything looked good.
What'd you make of the hockey outside?
Matt stinks at hockey. Those long legs. It's like a freaking deer on the ice. Just legs going all over the place.
They got two uses out of this hockey rink. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Remember they had the thing. Now it was melting because the sun was out. What people apparently are learning now is that ice, even when it's cold out, ice melts in this when it's under bright sun.
You can't forget about the sun, folks.
And they kiss at the end, which was a weird thing for a couple of pals to do. What'd you make of this date?
I wrote here, they have an extended makeout on the ice. I'm not so sure she's gone, Rim. That's what I wrote here.
Yeah. Nighttime, Serena P. I thought Serena was the obvious fourth place person going into this, but some of the things Matt was saying indicated that might not be the case. So let's talk about it. He said he was beyond nervous to meet Serena's family and, quote, I could see myself spending the rest of my life with her. I know he says a lot of these things a lot, but that surprised me.
Now, here's the thing, though, Rim. When you said that she's in fourth place, I don't know, at least the way I took how you were saying that wasn't that Matt thought she was in fourth place. I think you just thought she's out. Because if you remember, Serena did get a second date, so she's obviously one of his favorites. You know?
That's true.
No one else has had two dates. This is her third date, in fact. So she's always going to have a leg up on everyone.
That's true.
In terms of him.
We got Dad Bill and Mom Rosna. Dad Bill asks, one of the things, or what was your impression of Serena? Your first impression, because they were talking about how she did the stepladder bit.
Mm-hmm.
Matt said, one of the things I was hoping to find was someone who is normal.
I don't know what he meant by this.
They all had a good laugh. I don't know what, I didn't think he probably misspoke, but everyone was relaxed and making fun of it. What do you have with Serena's mom and Matt?
Rosna seemed great, Rim. They step outside. She asks, why Serena? What is it you like about her?
Specific questions. Specific.
She says she's smart, beautiful, has her head on her shoulders, and doesn't take crap. Every time I leave a conversation with her, I want to get to know her more. That's good conversation right there. Rosna asks, do you know how she feels about you? Matt says he has an idea, but he's not 100%.
She seemed to me like, yeah, maybe they like each other.
Yeah.
But skeptical of them being on the verge of engagement.
I think she says to the camera she's not sure if Serena will be able to get engaged this quickly.
Serena and her sister, Talia.
These families are beautiful, by the way, Rem, and that needs noted. All these interracial families are absolutely beautiful.
They're all good families. I like them. Serena tells her sister that she's falling for Matt. I don't think her sister buys it, and she's pretty upfront about that. What'd you make of this conversation, AB?
She asks him, do you love him? Straight up. Where are we at? She kind of came off as a little bit of a Bachelor fan here. You know you need to tell him you love him right now, right? And
do or die.
Do you love him? Yeah. Serena's sister, I thought out of nowhere, but maybe she knows her. She knows her better than we do. So she said, you don't seem smitten because I think you're in your own head. I didn't feel like there was enough to gather that, but apparently
they've only been together a few minutes. Yeah. She walked in.
She knew right away, though.
She says it seems there's something missing. And when she said this to Serena, Serena's face was like she was coming to the realization that she can't marry.
Yeah.
She's not going to get engaged to Matt.
I got kind of confused on it. I couldn't tell if Serena's sister was telling her, because she mentions like you're holding back. And it seemed like she was at some point she was kind of telling her to not be in her own head and like, you know, the type of thing you're sabotaging yourself. But then other times she's like, I don't think you like him at all. I just got confused on what exactly her advice was.
Serena and her dad, I didn't have much here. This is where this was post talking to Talia. So she's starting to have doubts and her dad was just like a sounding board. I don't know if he said much unless I missed it.
No, I don't think so.
Serena and her mom. At this point, her mood has changed.
It's bad.
Totally.
Yeah. You don't want this type of mood.
Mom tried to try to get her to realize what Serena probably already knew, was that this is unreasonable. What'd you think?
She says, I don't want to have Serena talking to Rosna. I don't want to have any doubts if I get proposed to, clearly talking about how she has doubts right now. Rosna, just trying to get to the bottom of it. Do you enjoy your time together? Is he intellectually stimulating? He makes you feel good about yourself? Yes, yes, to all those things. But Serena says yes to all those, but something is causing me deep doubt, and she couldn't put her finger on it.
Her mom makes reference to a previous relationship, and that Serena starts like crying. One thing you don't want is for your ex to make it far on The Bachelor, because then they'll get to hometowns and the parents would be like, remember how shitty your last boyfriend was? And then that guy's just at home like, hey, it was mutual, wasn't that? It was a mutual breakup. Yeah. They're like, you never want that to happen again, that guy.
Yeah, you don't want an ex to make it far on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. That's a fact.
The goodbye from the family was like, well, you know, sorry you didn't get the job. We'll keep you in mind for next time, but best of luck, pal. It was very easy. All right, talk to you later.
We'll keep your resume on file, pal.
I don't think anybody was like, we're saying goodbye. The next time we'll see you, you'll be engaged.
This was when we'll never see you again. Goodbye. Yeah.
That didn't go as well as we thought. You seem nice, but...
I mean, Serena and Rosna in their conversation with Serena just sobbing in her arms, so that's not a good sign for this relationship.
No. What'd you make of the conversation between Serena and Matt outside? Could not have gone worse.
No, it couldn't have gone worse. I mean, Serena's talking about how there's a time limit to all of this, basically saying she doesn't know if she can get there with him. It's not going good.
I have a lot of thinking to do is not what you want to hear from one of your final four after hometowns at all.
Nope.
She also seemed a little put off. I think maybe even this might have been the deal breaker for her was... Matt was really calm when she was talking like this. Like, I don't know, I'm not sure if this is possible. And Matt was just kind of even keeled about it. He wasn't.
Yeah, he didn't freak out.
And I think she maybe wanted more of a reaction from him than she got. So
probably. Yeah.
All right. 20 minutes left in this episode, which leads me to believe someone is choosing to leave before the rose ceremony. That's
obviously
how I took this. Yeah.
Something else is happening here.
This isn't a 20-minute rose ceremony.
No.
Chris shows up for a chill convo on the outdoor furniture in the woods.
Just a sit-down chat.
With lamps set up just in case they go late into the night.
If it goes along.
Yeah. And Chris tells Matt, you know, listen, it sounds like you and Serena aren't on the same page. You have to figure that out before you give out another rose. So Matt visits Serena. She's sulking alone in her room. She does not look... She looks like she's getting ready to break up. When Matt walked in the door, I think you probably should have knew what was going to happen here.
Matt drives down to Serena's place. I don't know. I still don't understand the accommodations here.
Room 304.
Did she get her
maybe?
Own room? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. He knocks. I know. Did he just walked in, Rim? I don't like that. Maybe wait for them to open the door or say, come in.
Well, there's camera people already in the room because they showed her.
I don't care.
Close
Rim.
Up.
manners are manners, Rim. TV you knock. You wait for someone to say, come on in. Now, the door's cracked, so that gives them a little leeway. But knock. Wait. Don't just knock and let. What's the point of the knock if you're going to barge second later? There's no. You got to
totally
knock.
Totally negates the knock.
The knock wasn't needed if you're going to just barge right in. But yeah, she's sitting there. I mean, she was sitting there in a breakup pose, like, this was over.
It was a breakup face, too. Yeah. She didn't smile, beam when he came in.
No, it wasn't, there was no embrace, really. It was just, let's sit down and get this over with.
The weird thing is, I thought, Matt thought she was, like, on the fence, and that
he could talk her out of this.
This conversation was going to cement them, and they would move forward together. But
he says something interesting here. Says he's, and I think like you were saying, he's trying to convince her that you are really one of my top people here. You are the person I've spent the most time with.
Yeah.
And he could see a future and someone he could hopefully share a life with. The most time with, that was an interesting comment.
I thought so too, but I think it's just she had two one-on-ones, and that's really
yeah. I mean,
it came off like I make sure to spend time with Serena every time possible.
That's how he said it. Yeah,
but I think it's just she had two one-on-ones, so she's numbers
wise,
the time.
Yeah, she's got the most time.
Matt's where are we here?
Serena P lets a huge exhale out. Let me get started here. We had such an obvious connection and things were so great with us, but another but.
Then I talked to my mom.
I think you also know we've had moments where I've struggled and had doubts. I think when I became aware of those feelings is when I talked to my mom. I was able to sit there and say, you have everything I want in a husband. Again, but when it came to actually being able to talk about my feelings for you, I really struggled. At this point, she's just not that into you, Matt. I'm sorry.
The big phrase here that was different than usual, I don't think you're my person, which is a brutal way to say. Usually a contestant, when they choose to leave, is like, I'm not there yet. I don't think I can get there. She was like, it's never going to happen with me and
no,
you, Matt.
Well,
you're not the guy for me.
You could give me a year of courtship and I'm not falling. This
not
isn't
happening.
Working. Not happening, pal.
No amount of one-on-one dates is going to change this.
You don't see this happen to The Bachelor.
No.
Getting broken up with this late in this way.
In a clear cut,
like nothing. I'm not coming back. Don't look. Don't be looking. Larry Bird's not walking through that door, Rim. I'm not coming back. It's over.
Matt was speechless for a good while.
Speechless.
I think he had things to say, a plan going into this, and this
wasn't what he was expecting.
Plan.
Yeah. I mean, he was looking around like, wait a second. This isn't what's supposed to be happening.
Can
to
a camera?
Me. Y'all didn't tell me. He's looking to the producers like, y'all didn't tell me that this. I'm supposed to be doing the heartbreaking.
And you know they're telling him like where she's at because Chris asks questions like, hey, do you think so-and-so might be thinking this? Even though Matt wasn't around when the person expressed that feeling. So they knew that Serena was going to break up with him. And he was probably like taken aback that he wasn't warned.
Chris, I just talked to you. Why didn't you tell me?
You should have told me.
Just serious. Matt doesn't say it. He's just like, this stinks.
Yeah. He's saying this stinks. This stinks.
I think his brain was broken by this. This sucks.
It took him a while. He finally came up with some sentences. And he says, I think he softened the situation first. She felt horrible. And he was like, you know, this guy knows how to do TV breakups. So it took him a minute, but he got it together and he was like, you know, now you walk me out. That's how
he
this
said,
works.
This stinks three times. Matt, this man got walked out rim and placed into the breakup van. I don't know that.
He had to take the thing home. He was in Serena's car.
I don't know that I've ever seen The Bachelor have the breakup moment where they're getting driven away and he's having the camera from the front posed back, focused on him in the back.
Hey, he was crying to the camera later. This reaction,
the man's heartbroken. Rim.
It surprised me, but I also, because I guess I forgot that Serena was the one who I figured would want to go home.
Yeah,
which he was, turned out to be. But I forgot that maybe Matt. I went into this episode thinking Serena's probably going home. I forgot that maybe Matt likes her as one of his two or three favorites.
Yeah,
so he was bummed out about this.
Why did he get walked out? This seems
I don't know. Now that we're talking about it, it seems weird.
It's very weird. I mean, like
her stuff's already packed.
This happens all the time where they go to someone's place and then it's always the bachelor walking the other person out. She walked him out. I guess it's because she's doing whoever does the breakup walks them out and they get in the car. I've just never seen that before.
That is weird. It was weird to see Matt in the back of the Tahoe.
Yeah, back of the Tahoe. It was the moment you see from the final four or anyone later in the season when they're leaving the show.
Let's go to the rose ceremony. So Matt's biggest fear, as he tells Chris, is being heartbroken at the end of this, and he hopes these final three will accept these roses, which is now a greater possibility, he feels, than it was before. He shows up to the rose ceremony and he says, the fact that Serena's not here means that she couldn't see herself as my wife, which is a weird thing to say because you're saying it was her decision. So one of you is about to get a rose by default who otherwise would have been sent home. By saying that, you're saying Serena was like going to get a rose.
I'm convinced she was getting a rose.
Yeah, I do. Convinced. I think that too. But now he's telling them. He's telling the final three.
Yeah.
Which I don't think he should have done.
No, definitely shouldn't have.
Here are the roses. Michelle, Rachel, Bree.
You take something into those that rose order.
Do I?
Yes.
Not really. Bree does.
Bree did. See, I didn't because there was no pressure on these roses. He could have given them out whatever order he wanted to. There's no one not getting a rose, so the order didn't mean much to me. I'm not.
I agree.
I'm not concerned as concerned as Bree was, at least.
If Serena were there and someone got the last rose, that would make you feel like it was between me and her. But yeah, the order doesn't matter here.
An interesting part there where before he shows up to give out the roses, all the girls, the three girls are there and they're kind of talking amongst each other.
Where is she?
Wait, did you see her at any time today or anything? Yeah. It's usually they all show up. They aren't staying in the same place anymore. After hometowns, they get flown back in, do the rose ceremony, and then they jet off somewhere else. This is an interesting situation in that they're all still there. You know, did you see her at breakfast?
Breakfast,
at the continental breakfast. Did you see? And also, are all the parents still there at all this stuff? It's just an interesting situation there. Like, are the dads all hanging out for breakfast?
I hadn't thought of that. I have a lot of questions about this whole setup. Next week, so that's the episode. Next week's the Women Tell All. Can't wait. The gloves are coming off. Yep. I'll summarize it for you.
Not excited about it.
Me neither. I'll summarize it for you now.
Okay.
Victoria actually isn't that bad. Matt has a beard, and people you forgot about try to get in the good graces of viewers by trying to go over the top of each other, saying,
well,
no,
they're trying
you're
to get on
big
Paradise Room.
Yeah, just trying to be like, a person who left on night one or two is going to be like, have some things to say about Victoria, who did most of her damage after you left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I agree.
Anything else on that episode?
No.
I think Women Tell All is in combination with Fantasy Suites episode. If next week is just Women Tell All, I will be livid.
Yeah, I could see it going either way.
Okay.
Because I watched that part this week. And to me, it seemed like it was Women Tell All only. That's just, they even, Chris is doing his little voiceover, and he says, we'll pick back up where we left off or something like that.
No.
In 2 weeks. I swear he said something like that. I got the feeling Women Tell All only next week. That's the feeling I got.
And then, in 2 weeks, Matt's journey to find love continues.
Well, see, I am preemptively pissed. Here's the mailbag. 773-234-7794. Last week's question, which was a great one from AB, describe your dream musical guest scenario. We got some good creative writing type things, a lot of new people. We got a lot of submissions, and we got a lot of new people writing in, which we like to see. 773-234-7794. Listen up, AB. It's story time. Noel from Buffalo. Steam, quite literally and figuratively, fills the air as Matt, or whoever our lead might be, gets cozy on a one-on-one date in a wood-burning hot tub, or perhaps a hot spring when we get a season with travel again. The tension is palpable, and one might say, it is most definitely getting hot in here. Suddenly, Nelly rises from behind the water vapor and busts into his hit anthem, Hot in Here. He was just one of the finalists on the most recent season of Dancing with the Stars, so he's in ABC's Good Graces, and a band-aided face gets lots of people would love to see. I don't think he does the band-aid anymore. Thank you, Noel. Mary from Wisconsin. Picture this. The lead and the date are holding hands walking along a beach after enjoying a fun date. They are sipping tropical drinks and enjoying themselves. They come upon Sean Kingston. He is singing a mashup of Beautiful Girls and Fire Burning, and a few beachgoers are dancing along with him. The lead and the date join in and are taught a choreographed dance. Sean brings them on stage to help them sing Ayaz's Replay, which he helped write and has been known to cover. I think Sean, this is a huge Sean Kingston
thing. We're getting a full concert?
I think Sean Kingston is a great choice because he has a lot of recognizable songs that people still play at parties, but he does not have many recent hits, so we would realistically say yes to an invitation to perform on the show. Thank you, Mary.
That's great.
Paige and Philip from Atlanta, Georgia. Giggling, the lead and Tristan with two Ys round the corner and feign surprise at Neutral Milk Hotel. The producers feed the lead Jeff Magnum's name, who says they're a huge fan, even though they were born in 1998. The couple confusedly shuffles in a circle as a band of recluses play the song Pre-Sister Swallowing a Donkey's Eye, an ambling dystopian soundscape like a sonic funhouse mirror that distorts your sense of self. After 13 minutes and 49 seconds of trying to get into the mood to make out, the song ends and the couple claps politely. Jeff Magnum stares at the couple unblinkingly until they just walk away. Cuts a commercial. Thank you, Paige and Philip. Camille from Seattle. Picture this. Katie and one of her top contenders walk into a crowded, intimate concert setting and suddenly Get Your Freak On starts being played by Missy Elliott. The surprise when they are fully expecting something more intimate and slow would just be too funny. But I could also see Katie being such a good sport about it if she is bachelorette, in parentheses, and having a great time. Extra points if this date happens on the fantasy suite date. Missy Elliott would be a hard get, but she's been around a long time and I could see last year being tough for gigs, so not impossible right now. Thank you, Camille.
These are all realistic, and I'm loving this.
They're all realistic, yeah. Some of them aren't. We'll get to those later.
Okay.
Chris from Dak.
Is this the best question I've ever asked?
When you ask it, I'm like, yes. This is going to be hilarious. Chris from Dacula, Georgia. Picture this.
Is everyone actually saying picture this?
Yes. That's why I included them in a row. Multiple people were like, picture this. I had to do it. But this one's actually good, too. And the proposal and final after the proposal and final rose, Genuine singing Differences or Jagged Edge singing Let's Get Married.
Wow.
The latter seems more fitting, but either or would be great. Hopefully the next round of contestants aren't too young to not fully appreciate these R&B
legends.
Genuine
gonna sing In Those Jeans?
No, Differences.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully the next round of contestants aren't too young to not fully appreciate these R&B legends.
Spoiler alert, R&B, they are,
and it's sad. Yeah. R&B has basically disappeared from the landscape as a mainstream music genre. We grew up in the golden age of it, and I won't hear otherwise. Thank you, Chris. Allison from North Carolina. Smash Mouth. Imagine it. You're walking through a dark hallway to hear the roar of the crowd and the opening bars of All Star. You and your date burst through the door. The energy in the room is unbelievable. You get on your raised platform and jam out to the best song ever written. Smash Mouth moves into I'm a Believer, and you get the romantic makeout song with a touch of Shrek nostalgia. I'm not sure I'm a Believer is a makeout song. Slam Dunk Dig.
That's a little too fast paced.
I haven't heard that one recently, but it's not a Slam Dunk Day and a good break from all the country music. Thank you, Allison. Claudia from New York City. He might be too big a star, but Michael Bublé would be great. He's funny and he would have a lot of fun with it. The date would be like one of the stand-up or songwriting dates, but it would be about showmanship. The contestants would have to sing the chorus for a jazz standard or something. But more than that, they'd have to show their personality through their stage persona.
Listen.
Go ahead.
Unrealistic. The check for Bublé, I mean, we're talking. It's just too much. The check's too much.
And Bublé would coach them on it.
You see him on those bubbly commercials, Rim. He's not doing it. He's got...
I have a comment about that. And Bublé would coach them on it, and then he would come back for the night portion and sing everything while the winner and the lead did their dumb swang dance. Couple things. Number one, I feel like you said it can be anybody, doesn't have to be realistic, part of your question as. Number two, there's a difference between Tennille Arts singing at the end of your one-on-one after you've eaten,
yeah,
and being the date yourself, because Backstreet Boys were the dates. That was the date.
That's realistic.
The activity.
That's fair.
So, yeah, if the person is the date, you can get a bigger name, I think.
That's fair.
Bobby from Columbus, Ohio.
I did say anything's possible after LFI.
You can't say the money's too big. If I'm trying to find someone more realistic, Kobe Calais' Bubbly was an absolute jam, but I'm afraid that the kids on this show wouldn't know how big of a banger that song was. However, the number one overall pick, and I like, we should have done this in draft format. The number one overall pick has to be John Legend performing All of Me in a private jazz club. Plus, maybe they could also convince Chrissy Teigen to be in charge of a daytime runway or modeling date, and she and John could provide couples advice to both the lead and the contestant. I am almost certain that Chrissy Teigen watches The Bachelor or has watched The Bachelor. This is possible.
That's big. I mean, that's almost as big as it gets, you know, like, that's big.
Yeah.
John Legend is big.
That's why he's the number one overall pick in this draft. Allison from Atlanta. It's got to be Rudy from Listen to Your Heart. And then, of course, she has to walk right off the stage and join the season. That's right. You heard me. Pulling an inside job Heather could never.
Wow.
I'm fully on board with that. Fully.
Yeah. Love that.
Sarah from Philly. I would love to see Jason Isbell or Ray LaMontagne on the show as a musical guest, and don't say they are too big, because if Caitlin Bristow can have the freaking Cranberries, then anything is possible. Pipe dream guest is obviously Taylor Swift, though. Joy from New Orleans. I have to correct you on the best musical act ever. It has to be the Cranberries in Ireland on Caitlin Bristow's season. They were an amazing old church with awesome acoustics. I'm still shocked they got them. In terms of my dream musical act, they might actually be able to get Leon Bridges. I first heard one of his songs on Big Little Lies and have been a fan ever since. Runner-up would be Bishop Briggs. Ultimate dream, Alabama Shakes, but I doubt that could ever happen.
Are we going to act like Backstreet Boys didn't rule the world, Rem, when we're calling
People
Cranberries
are
bigger?
Acting
are
like
we going to call Cranberries bigger than Backstreet Boys? Is that what we're doing right now? I just cannot agree with that.
I don't know if I have it here, but a couple people pointed out that Dolly Parton was on a date Emily's season,
big.
And Dolly Parton is a big...
I don't know that she performed, though. You have to cut the checkbook for that.
I don't think she performed, but she was the date with Ari.
Well, they were
Emily
at Dollywood, though. So this was a promotion for that, too. I don't count that. I really don't.
I don't either. It remains Backstreet Boys.
That was an entire date promotion on ABC for Dollywood. Of course she had to be there.
The Backstreet Boys were the most famous people in the world at one point.
That's all I'm saying. We can't. I'm just not going to let that slide by saying Cranberries are bigger than Backstreet Boys. That's just not the case. That's not true. I'm sorry.
I don't think so.
They ruled the world.
I love
NSYNC
the Cranberries.
And Backstreet Boys ruled the world.
I'm with you.
Okay.
We all love
the Cranberries.
We
Rim,
all love
but
the Cranberries.
It's just not. But they aren't equals.
Facts are facts. Facts are facts. We're all forgetting someone.
Who?
And it's 416 area code. My dream performer would be Brian McKnight singing Back at
Wow.
One.
Wow.
Yeah. Obvious. Wow. All right. Anything on those?
Boyz II Men were on too. Remember? Weren't they on?
I don't think so.
Were they who? No, it's All for One. All for One.
Is all that for who, one. They yeah, did the, All for One did a limo entrance.
Limo
dude.
Entrance. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
the lowest.
Run. Couldn't remember who it was. Yeah.
773-234-7794. Do you have a question for next week? I don't know how you can top that.
No, I don't have a question.
That's fine.
I couldn't do it. We don't even have we don't know what's going on next week for the episode either.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask who's going to win.
That's lame. We'll get spoiled people trying to act like they're not spoiled.
Yeah. Well, I almost think no more questions this season. And we already, listen, I tried to dip my toes back in the headlines this week. Almost got spoiled, like instantly almost got spoiled. I'm out officially. It's over for the season. I'm not touching that until the finale. Almost got spoiled so quick.
Batch bracket scoring update. The standings are identical to what they were last week, even with the scoring updates. 291, Lucia B. At the top, I'm saying. I made a huge leap. Can't explain how. 291, Lucia B. 284, Madison P. 282, Lindsay St. P., Hannah J., and Catherine L. 281, Paige P., Sarah W., and Alexandra B. I'm in 281st place with 232 points. I imagine you jumped similarly because we have matching final threes, I think.
I have Bree and Michelle going to the final two. I have 220 points. 367th place.
Hey, a lot can change. It all comes down to who
you can change. Like,
hey.
Well, I can change.
Those of us that picked Virginia last year,
I still got the top
two. We weren't sitting high for a while.
Still got the top two here.
Do you want to do a quick top three power rankings? Wrap it up.
Oh, well, first, do you want to? We can comment on Claire and Dale.
I saw them galloping around town.
They're messing around in Florida or somewhere.
Who knows?
Seems like they're getting back together, maybe. Just something to note.
That's interesting given kind of it was a little contentious there, it seemed, and with differing statements.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to follow.
Mm-hmm. Top three, Rachel 1, Michelle 2, Bree 3.
I agree. 100% agree.
The way he talks about Rachel makes me think it's over.
It's hard to overlook.
But I saw that little after the show where they've showed Michelle two times in a row, the times these guys are having. Did you see that? Did you catch that? They did like the behind the scenes, or not behind the scenes, but they just gave us more. You know, last week you said Michelle.
Oh,
and
yeah,
him.
The credits.
They did it again. They did another credit scene with Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle's
and him.
Awesome.
They're always doing Michelle because the times they're having are great, which makes me think she's got a little bit of a chance.
I'll do separate power rankings. Who I want to win.
Well, who I want to win is Michelle.
Michelle, I would put, because I think that they're the best match. I really do. All right, anything else, AB? There's a merch sale. Mm. I told the people I'd tell you about it. Starting the 24th. That's today. If you're listening tomorrow. Through the 27th. Everything 35% off.
Wow.
Check it out. It's 24th through the 27th.
Facebook group, Rim. People are down and out right now about this season.
I don't like to hear that.
Not about us, just about the season in general. I just want to note, I feel like everyone needs to take a few deep breaths. The stuff that's happened outside of the show has sucked, but I'm still enjoying this season. Everyone just keep watching. We're almost to the end here. I think these episodes are still good. It's a little icky when she's on the screen, but I'm still enjoying the show, and I think everyone else should too.
I think that's a great message.
Take a few deep breaths, everybody, and let's just finish up this season with positive vibes.
Let's try. Let's do it. Can I tell you this? If he picks Rachel, I think they probably broke up.
Oh, well, if we're talking predictions, season predictions, yeah. I think he picks Rachel, and I think by the time we see them together again, they will have broken up. They'll have a very serious talk on the after the final rose, but they'll be broken up. If he picked her,
there will still be respect between the two. It will not be contentious, but it will have been an untenable relationship, and we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, didn't mean to get bum everybody out at the end there, but thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.